All right. Thank you, Pastor. It's a privilege to be here in person, and thank you for tuning in at home. And we do want to say thank you for your faithful support of what God is doing in Regent Park. Our church was started in 1994. There was another downtown church that that saw a need on the east side of Toronto, and so they started serving a meal on Saturday evenings, and that meal grew to be the largest in the city of Toronto. And at different points, they've had some worship components to the church, but over a number of years ago, they weren't able to continue the worship component. And 5 years ago, a church in the city, which is located in the St. Lawrence part of Toronto, continued with the dinners, but they wanted to restart the worship component of the church. And so we were invited to come in January of 2016 and restart that service. And we often hear that at that first worship service, there was more people on the worship team than in the congregation. But God has gathered the people as we've served a meal on Saturday nights to 350 people. People have got up from the table and they've come and they've been a part of the church. And we've seen the church grow to average about 60 people on a Saturday night. And serve about 100 people, mostly from the Riverdale and Regent Park and Dundas and Sherbourne corridor. So thank you. I have brought a video with some people from our church just expressing their thanks as well. And so I'd like to show you that video. And it kind of shows you a little bit of how church has changed since March of this year. We're no longer able to do a dining room meal and have church inside. But the Ontario government has let us know that we're an essential service and encouraged us to continue to serve a take-home meal. So I brought some video for you, and I hope you'll enjoy the thank yous that some of our friends share with you today.
Good afternoon. I want to begin by just saying thank you. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your support during unforeseen and challenging times for all of us. And in a moment, you're going to hear some thanks from other people that you have blessed, that you have served, that you have encouraged during some difficult times for them. Church in Regent Park has been deemed an essential service by the Ontario government, and so we have continued to serve a take-home meal. So thank you, churches, for continuing to send teams. Thank you, churches, for continuing to send a monthly donation to ensure that we can provide those meals every single week that mean even more than they did before. We haven't been able to meet in person, and so we are filming our services and posting them on YouTube and using Facebook Live, and we've been able to reach some new people in our community as a result of those efforts. We're doing our best to pair people in our church that are vulnerable with other stronger Christians so that they could check in on them. And we greatly appreciate your donation. We're prayerfully considering reopening whenever our landlord allows us to do so. But we're going to continue to serve the meals and support people here in Regent Park. It's an honor and a privilege just to show you a little bit about what your investment is doing here in Regent Park.
Everybody, and thank you for this time during our pandemic and helping us out the way you've been helping us out. Thank you very much, and God bless you all.
Thank you very much for helping us with the tickets and with the meals and everything else, and keep up to do good work. Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to thank on behalf of not just the people here from Regent Park, but on behalf of the Latin American people. I would like to say muchas gracias from our hearts. Thank you so, so much.
Enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Enjoyed every minute of it. Thank you very much. Bye. Right.
Thank you very much. Right. And have a nice day. Bye.
Have you ever found yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time? Maybe it was going to Costco as the pandemic had just started and people were lining up to stockpile groceries. Maybe it was during a subway closure and you were had to get onto a shuttle bus. Maybe it was a winter storm. Maybe you were traveling somewhere and you just thought to yourself, I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time. Maybe it was Boxing Day at Fairview Mall. I wonder if there's some buttons on my shirt that feel like they're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Well, when I think of being in the wrong place at the wrong time, I remember vividly a moment when I was as a youth worker in Scarborough, and we had run our youth program, and there was a bit of a disagreement between three gentlemen, and then there was a gentleman on his own, and there was accusations that this one gentleman had taken a cell phone, and so they had a heated argument. And so the one gentleman calls not 5, not 10, not 15, not 20, not 25, but 30 of his friends who lived close by and were waiting outside. And so there was these three gentlemen and their pride, they didn't want to be called weak or afraid, and so they began to make their way outside. And I was trying to talk them out of it, but for the life of me, I could not. And thankfully, or so I thought, there was a friend of mine at the church that night. His name was Wayne. And he was about 6'8", 200 pounds of muscle. And he was a former Pan American boxer. He represented Guyana at the Pan American Games. And I was so glad that as these gentlemen are on one side, and there's another 30 guys on the other side, and I'm in the middle, that he came to my rescue. And he always used to call me Butterbean, and I was never sure why. I think I have a picture of Butterbean Glenna, and I still cannot figure out why he calls me Butterbean. Anyways, maybe it's because I'm a champ or something, but regardless of that, my boxing friend came to my rescue, and so we tried to find a peaceful solution to this situation until one gentleman took the Lord's name in vain. And then my friend Wayne, instead of being a peacemaker, he got a little bit heated himself, and he wanted to lay hands on one of the gentlemen. And so I had to send Wayne back into the building, and I remember thinking, I am in the wrong place at the wrong time. Thankfully, some members of 42 Division drove by, and that was enough to kind of distribute everybody and send them on their way. And thankfully, cooler heads prevailed, and they were able to talk it out and work it out without any more altercation. But I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I'm sure as you think about it now that you have come to a time in your mind where you said, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Well, today we're going to look at the story of Zacchaeus and how the Bible describes him as lost. And William Barclay was a great Anglican teacher and leader, and he says this about the way the word lost is used in the New Testament. He says, we must always be careful how we take the meaning of this word lost. In the New Testament, it does not mean damned or doomed. It simply means in the wrong place. A thing is lost when it has gotten out of its own place and into the wrong place. A thing is lost when it has gotten out of its own place and into the wrong place. And when we find such a thing, we return it to the place it ought to occupy. A person is lost when they have wandered away from God. And they are found when they once again take their rightful place as an obedient child in the household and the family of their father. In Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus says, my mission is to seek and save the lost, those that have wandered away, those that are in the wrong place. And over the last number of months, there is a great sense of loss in our nation and in our city, isn't there? People have lost loved ones. People have lost jobs. People have lost their freedom to go about life as they did before. We have lost the ability in some respects to worship as we did, and some of our brothers and sisters are struggling with the ability to not be able to connect like they used to. It's great to be with you in person today. Thank you for watching at home. And so we see people wrestling with this loss. And it's caused them to assess their future. It's caused them to ask questions. It's caused them to look for the Creator that created them. We have church 5 minutes after the dinner. Just like 10 steps away from the dining room, we meet for church. And although we have some great friends and we have dinner together, many of them head home. We're thankful that those that stay. But it's amazing that more of them we're finding each week are now watching our church online. We film it on Fridays, and we premiere it at 6:45 on Saturdays. And so now people take up their meals. And as we advertise and we say, find us on YouTube, we're finding people that could have the opportunity to meet in person are now watching it at home or watching it Sunday morning. There's a friend of mine, his name is Ross. He lives actually just on top of our church in the building that we rent. And I just shared with him the YouTube channel one week, and he's been watching. He says, Pastor, I have a confession to make. I don't watch it on Saturdays. I watch it on Sunday mornings. Is that okay? That is fine, Ross. We're glad that you're watching. And he comes with tears in his eyes, and he thanks me on a weekly basis for the message that he is now enjoying. And I hope you're finding that as well, that your neighbors, that your coworkers, that your family are now wondering about this Jesus that you serve. Throughout Scripture, we see how God uses adversity to bring people back to him, don't we? The people of Israel over and over again, the Apostle Peter, King David, the Samaritan woman, that God uses adversity in people's lives to remind them to come home, to come back to him. And so let's look at Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once, welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Jericho had a very strong economy. There was a palm forest located nearby, and palm, balsam trees were available. And so there was some wealth within the community. And because it was occupied by the Romans, they had to pay their tax. And so Zacchaeus was not just a tax collector, he was the chief tax collector. And so all the tax collectors were known as being a little bit crooked and skimming some off the top. Well, Zacchaeus was skimming more off their top, and he was pocketing it and doing quite well for himself. But his comfortable life was still leaving him empty. He still was lost. He still wandered away from God and was looking for hope and for help. And I think the first thing we see in this passage is that Jesus seeks out the hurting. Zacchaeus was rejected. He was lonely. Although he was successful, he realized it was not the answer. His name means righteous one, but the Jewish religious community would not see him as righteous because he was working for the enemy and he was stealing. We learn that everyone had a bad opinion of him, that they were all complaining about him. They say, oh, look, Jesus has gone to be the guest of not Zacchaeus or a man or a tax collector, but he was labeled a sinner. When Jesus reaches out to him, he responds immediately. Now, you may not have people climbing trees in your front lawn to get a look at Jesus, but I know that there are likely conversations that you're having, or that people that you know are asking more about Jesus. They're watching your life. They're trying to catch a glimpse, just like Zacchaeus did. Jesus was passing through it. He went to see, or he went to pay attention. He went to kind of look from afar to see that everything they'd heard about Jesus was true. I had a neighbor reach out to me a little while ago and said, my mother has lost her father as a result of COVID. Is it okay if I take the service that I stumbled across on Facebook and share it with them? And we said, of course. And so she's been sharing it with her grandmother and with her mother. And it's just an amazing opportunity to have conversations with our neighbors that because of the loss in our nation, that people are wandering back to God. C.S. Lewis once said, God whispers in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but he shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. God is using the pain of the pandemic to remind people that they are created by him and they are loved by him and that he's bringing them back to him. Aren't you thankful for that truth today? Let's read verses 8, 9, and 10. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, have here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Now, as I was preparing, I guess that word seek really grabbed my heart. I mean, the centrality of our faith depends on Jesus who saves us, who sets us free, who gave his life on the cross for us. And so we spend a lot of time, as we should, on the saving of the lost. But it was that word seek that stood out to me, that Jesus was actively seeking out those that were hurting, those that were lonely, those that had lost. And he was seeking them out. And we see here in this passage when he ignores the rest of the crowd that were there today and he goes right for Zacchaeus and says, "I need to spend time with you." Zacchaeus' curiosity is piqued and he wants to spend time with Jesus. And we see here how Jesus, in just a short period of time, there's a radical change in the way Zacchaeus lives his life. And so the first thing we see is that to seek out the hurting. And secondly, we see that love leads to healing, or seeking leads to healing. That love, that attention was enough to lead Zacchaeus home. He was so dedicated to amassing wealth and ripping people off in a short time, he's ready to give it all away. He says he was going to sell all he has and give half of it to the marginalized. He's going to repay back not just one time or two times, but three and four times what he has cheated others out of. A couple of verses earlier in Luke, we read about a rich young ruler who wanted to know about eternal life. And when Jesus says to sell all he has, he goes away upset because he's not willing to do so. But shortly after, we see Zacchaeus. His life is completely changed because Jesus sought him out, spends time with him, shows him love, and is a radical change in his life. His own people would not have considered him a son of Abraham. They would have seen him a traitor, a sellout, ripping off his own countrymen. And it's not his genealogy that saves him. It's not his bad decisions that keep him from coming to faith. It's the recognition that Jesus is the Messiah, that salvation comes to Zacchaeus' house, and it radically changes the way he lives his life. Our church is composed of a lot of people that were in the wrong place at the wrong time. We have a family in our church that's had to flee Eritrea because of religious persecution. There are people that you have met even this morning on video that have been abused and have been hurt and have wandered away from God. We have people in our church that have overcome addiction. We still serve a number of people on Saturday night that are doing hard drugs because of the chronic pain that they were feeling in their body, or because of depression, or because of life circumstances. They're in the wrong place at the wrong time, and their life was radically changed by an event, or by pain, or by something that someone has done to them. But we're thankful that we're seeing people come back to faith in Jesus. They give their lives back to him. Some of you, when you've come down on a Saturday, have met a gentleman. His name is Stephen, and we want to thank you for your support and also for sending teams to come and help serve on Saturday nights. And Stephen lost his mother a number of years ago, and it kind of started a spiral downwards. He began to drink more heavily. Then he began to try cocaine. And eventually it came where he lost his job in the film industry and he was sleeping under a tree. Lost everything he had. He had no one else to contact for more cash to buy more drugs. And so he walked into Harbor Light, which is not too far from our church on Jarvis, north of Queen. And he picked up a Bible and he read about the Jesus that he knew as a child. And he gave his life back to God. And that's not the end of the story. He said, I want my story to impact others. I want my story to change other people's lives. I want to keep other people from ending up under a tree. And so he went back to school at George Brown College, and he needed to do an internship. And so he happened upon our church. And after he graduated, we ended up hiring Stephen, and he's been serving with us for almost 2 years as our community dinner director. And he has an empathy and understanding of the people we serve that I'll never have, because he has been under that tree. He has been there for people. And people resonate, and they hear what he has to say, and they take his advice. And God is taking loss. God is taking adversity. God is taking the pain of the pandemic, and he's bringing people back to him. There's another gentleman in my church. He's a real encourager. When we've had a difficult dinner service or when something has gone wrong that week, he's always there with a smile on his face. And he was an alcoholic for a number of years. And now he spends the majority of his week sharing his faith at Queen and Sherbourne and Dundas and Sherbourne and bringing the lost back to him. Verse 10, Jesus communicates his mission to seek and to save the lost. A number of times in the New Testament, he invites us to join him on his mission, doesn't he? The Great Commission, go, and while you're going, the original language says, make disciples. As you're going about your daily lives, be intentional. Be aware of who God is bringing in your path that is looking for a glimpse of Jesus. Matthew 9, 37 to 38, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. John 20, 21, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Acts 1, 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. God invites us to join him on this mission of leading people back to him. The pandemic has impacted us all in one way or another. But could it be that Jesus has placed you in the right place at the right time to lead others back to him? Maybe through a phone call. Maybe through inviting someone to watch Word and Full Gospel online. Maybe it's by reaching out and saying, I know your family is far away. Or I know you don't have someone in your life. Is there something I could pick up for you? Is there something I can do for you? Can I rake your leaves? God is putting you in the right place at the right time to lift up prayers for your missionaries all around the world. Or to pray for your neighbors that they would have an encounter and come to faith in Christ. Church looks quite a bit different for us on Saturdays. We film in a living room now that it's cold, and I've had to really step up my video editing game over the last 8 months. Don't look at the first few weeks on our YouTube page, but I got better. But we film it, we post it on Saturdays, but for the government to come along and say, you're an essential service, can you continue to serve this meal? We couldn't say no. And so we set up at 2 o'clock. We get started. We start the meal at 5. We serve from 5 to 6. And we likely serve 275 people most weeks. If we're having turkey like we did on Thanksgiving, then the word gets out and people start showing up from a little further away. But I used to spend a lot of my Saturdays in that 4 o'clock hour and kind of making sure that there was no hums in the sound system, making sure the slides were set, making sure that everything was ready for the service at 6:35. And God just kind of convicted me about, you know, I need to maximize that time and just reorganize my schedule so that I'm available to spend time with people. One of the positive things from the pandemic is just being able to stand on that front lawn and have conversations with 275 people each Saturday. Where people do ask, is this the end of the world? or when will you be able to reopen again, or where can I find your church service, or tell me a little bit more about Jesus who I've never heard about because I've just come from another country. And I've had the chance to share my faith more times in these 8 months than I had in the 5 years before, just because I was available to them. And so God just really spoke to me about me reorganizing my schedule and my priorities and keeping that, even as things reopen, that I'm available for those 2 hours when people come in and have a meal and go home, that I can lead people towards Jesus. And maybe you're finding that your schedule is completely changed, or there are parts of your schedule that maybe God would say, you know what, this isn't something that you need to reincorporate back, but why don't you set this side of time aside, or why don't you set aside a certain amount of time to build relationships, to be available, to connect with people in your neighborhood. We're so glad that you've joined us online today as well, and there are likely people who have never walked into these doors at 2210 Warden Avenue and had a service, but now they have the ability to hear about the great things that are going on at Warden because of this pandemic. There was a survey that I came across from late April conducted by Angus Reid, and it just talks about this searching, this openness, these questions that people are asking about faith. In the study that took place in April of 2020, they surveyed 800 Canadians, and they found that 22% of Canadians are turning to prayer more often for spiritual and emotional sustenance. That 20%, 7% agreed or strongly agreed that they have a renewed sense of religious faith. In a similar study conducted by another organization called Anstis, they found that 16 to 25-year-olds were thinking more about faith, that 38% of Canadians strongly agree that they're feeling more concerned about strangers in the midst of the virus. A total of 55% indicated that they would make significant changes in their lives. 20% of Canadians said that the members of their family have been helped by their religious communities during these unprecedented times. The science backs up what we're feeling in our lives and in our hearts and seeing in our relationships, that people are wandering back to faith in Jesus. And God desires to use us to play a part in that. I want to close in a couple moments. I want to tell you a little bit about my story. I was serving in Scarborough, working with youth, and a young man came to me one time and he said, "Pastor Mark, I need some help making a decision." I wondered if it was a family situation or maybe something that was going on at school, and it was much deeper than that. He came to me and said, "You know, this group of friends, this group of guys, they want me to meet them at this spot and have my friend meet them there as well so that they could rob him. And if I don't do it, they're going to beat me up, and I'm not sure how far they're willing to go with it. What should I do? Should I, you know, take a beat down, or should I set up and betray my friend?" And at that point, I didn't have a lot of advice for him, but he received prayer, and I prayed with him. What ended up turning out was this gentleman and his friend ambushed this other group, and not a great situation, not the right decision in a bad situation. But that caused me to go back to my office and shed some tears, pray some prayers, and within minutes, I came across a program from Fuller Institute in California, Fuller Seminary. It was an urban youth worker program, and it was a distance ed, and I said, "You know, I just am not equipped to deal with some of these challenges. I haven't the training that I need to really make a difference here." And so that program was just, it was very innovative, very encouraging. It was great to work with youth workers from all around North America, mostly the States. But one thing they encouraged me that stood with me almost more than anything else was to really just have a knowledge of your community, to just get into the statistics, get into what the services are, to really look at what's going on in the blocks around your church. And when you have an idea of what the needs are in your neighborhood, in your community, then God begins you to lead you to a place where you begin to look at what he's given you to use to reach that community. Sometimes we just look at the need and it stops. But when we look at what God has gifted us with, Rick Warren has an acronym, SHAPE. Spiritual gifts, heart, what you're passionate about, what God has put in your heart, abilities that God has given you, personality, experience. When you take those and you look for the needs in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your community, that where the needs and where your assets meet is likely where God is calling you to serve. The needs in this neighborhood have changed over the last 8 months. Where is God calling Warden to serve in greater ways? Well, it's likely where God has gifted you with the people he's put in within your church to meet the needs in this neighborhood. Many of our friends at our church have a lot of experience, and many of it isn't always good. But when they can share how God has changed their life, how God has set them free, how God has brought them back to faith and they've found healing, it's a powerful tool that God uses to change people's lives. And so, friends, when I read this story, I see it playing out in Canada, in Toronto, in 2020, that God is leading people who've wandered away back to him. Some of them are lonely. Some of them are rejected. Some of them are disconnected from their family and friends who do not live around them. Some may have a lot of means, but they've found that it's not the answer. It's not fulfilling. And so let's be available. Let's fulfill that seeking part of the mission that God calls us to with our neighbors, with our coworkers, with our families. Let's pray for those that they're at work in difficult neighborhoods around the world. I'm not sure what it's like to serve as a missionary overseas or in difficult places, and we want to support them and continue to lift them up in prayer as well. What I'm going to encourage you to do is not to stand up, but just maybe put your hands in front of you, just as a posture of availability, that God, help me this week to be intentional. Help me this week to be available. Help me this week to be attentive to what you're going to lead me to do and who you're going to lead me towards, because I recognize that there are people that are lost, that have wandered away, that are reflecting on what is to come, they're reflecting on their purpose, and they're looking to come home. And so if you're here with us in person, why don't you just, if you're comfortable, just putting your hands in front of you as kind of a response to the message. If you're watching at home, then why don't you do the same? And let me just pray for this great church that is doing some amazing things, that is supporting some great missionaries, that God would continue to use the pain of the pandemic to bring people back to him. Let's pray together. Lord, we're so thankful that we were once at that place where we had wandered away, where we were wondering what life was all about. We were lacking purpose. We were lacking meaning. But someone came and showed us you. Someone came and showed love to us. Someone reached out to us when we were hurting, rejected, and abandoned, and we put our life in your hands, and we've never been the same. And so, God, all of our lives have been impacted. All of our lives have been changed in some way or another. We do lift up those that have lost loved ones and friends. We pray that we would stand with them and support them in their grief, Lord. For those that have lost jobs, God, we pray that you would continue to provide, that you would continue to open up new doors. Lord, we pray for guidance and direction as Warden Full Gospel continues to move forward for the plans that you have for this church. We're so thankful for Pastor Werner and for Gabby and for the leadership of this church. We bless them. We pray that you would continue to use them. And God, we just want to make ourselves available to you. Lord, that we would do our part in actively seeking out and prioritizing our time and making our time and our energy and our resources available to be used of you, to continue to use the people that you put in our path back to you. Lord, give us a great week. Continue to guide us and direct us in every area of our lives. And we pray your blessing and word and full gospel for the people that are gathered here today, for the people that have been watching at home. We pray that you be with them. We pray all these things in your amazing name. Amen. Amen. You want me to...